Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
So I'm not expecting that I will reach my goal when I finish 40,000 kilometres. I expect I'm reaching my goals every 15 minutes.
Any change within that pattern is seen as a negative, is seen as a disruptor. I've not had my coffee this morning. How am I going to be able to cope? But that's so built into us, isn't it? As human beings.
I always describe it to people that I actually feel that I have a clenched fist inside my stomach. And this fist is sometimes it's releasing, sometimes it's holding me stronger. But I always felt that fist.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. At mid-August 2022, and it's been a strange one this week because it's been absolutely scorching at the time of recording. But by the time you're listening to this, there's a chance that we could be in the middle of torrential thunderstorms. Of course, if you're listening later on in life, it might be Christmas, it might be snowing and all sorts of stuff going on. I've actually been away for a couple of weeks, had a little bit of a break with the family, which was fantastic to get away. A holiday out of the country as well, which was a really nice thing to do. Had a fantastic time, rested, recharged, recuperated. Now we're back with it for episode 260 of Mental Health Monday. And actually travel very much on the agenda with our guest this week, Thomas Dziabala. Now, Thomas is originally from Poland, has been living in London, but he's about to go global with this incredible challenge to run the equivalent of the circumference of the globe. 40,000 kilometers is the circumference of the globe. Thomas will talk about how he's going to achieve that, but also how he uses something called the flow to sort of help him when it comes to getting through that process, but also to change his entire perspective on life following a difficult time 4 or 5 years ago. So Thomas will share his story, details as well about his book, and details about that book, which is available from March next year, in the notes to the podcast. So that one's in there as well. But a really interesting guy, really fascinating conversation. Now, important thing around the flow and what flow is, it doesn't have to be applied to running around the entire globe. It can be applied to all kinds of different things, as we'll hear, from brushing your teeth, from going to a walk, to tying your shoelaces. And the difference it makes, according to Thomas and his experiences, are really quite profound. So it's a really interesting conversation, slightly different way of thinking about things, plus this incredible achievement that he's going for as well. So details of the book are in the notes of the podcast, but it's time to go with the flow. And I started by asking Thomas about his own global journey and thanked him for appearing on this edition of Mental Health Monday.
Thank you very much for having me today. And yes, I already pass quite a lot of distance around the globe talking about what I'm doing and all my discoveries. And I have actually a huge challenge in front of me to run the circumference of the globe. 40,075 kilometers, so nearly 25,000 miles, having over 400 speaking engagements along the way in universities, colleges, for businesses, government institutions. So a lot of engagement will happen for the next 40 months. But you know, before I get to run the circumference of Earth, everything just simply started for me from needs and wants to improve my mental health. At some point in my life, in the most difficult time of my life, I discovered for the first time, I was nearly 40 years old, and I discovered for the first time in my life that I don't need to actually feel anxiety, that I don't need to actually feel constant stress, overwhelm, and worries about my future and constantly dwell on my past. And it happened accidentally, because at the time I got divorced, I lost the company, and to deal with this, I go for 1 month just on my own with a few books to Asia, and I met a few people there from Germany, Australia and New Zealand. I spent some time with them, and I, for the first time in my life, I discovered that okay, maybe I can actually feel about life the same way as they feel. They've been fulfilled, they've been satisfied, that they've been truly happy, not because they've been on a holiday, but the way how they were talking about the life, it was something completely different for me. I live in a society where everyone was feeling the same way as I was feeling, and I thought that that's normal, that I, that, you know, that's how the life is, we just feel the anxiety. And it was 6 years ago, and since then I go a really long journey, and absolutely amazing journey.
Absolutely, absolutely. That moment there of, you know, a divorce, loss of a company, you know, those would be in a different pathway. Those might be triggering points that would lead someone to a really negative place. You know, when you look at maybe factors that lead to men who die by suicide within their 40s may have had that similar experience to you. But you were obviously, do you feel lucky that you had that almost intervention, if you like, that you met those people and thought, okay, maybe there's a different pathway for me?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I always, as I said, I always lived in a society when everyone was behaving the same way, even when we were talking about the life, about the work, about the worries after the work. Everyone was always talking the same way. Everyone was saying to me, oh no, this is how the life is, you know, everyone is going through the same journey in life. And I just thought that this is how it is. And then when I met people in Asia, I just make a commitment to myself that I didn't know how to change this. I was still feeling a lot of pain inside me, but I decided that I'm gonna start with really small changes in my life, that I will replace beer with the water, I would you know, just simply wear different t-shirt, I would just replace coffee with the tea, I would just go to a different area, walk to work instead of drive to work. So those little small changes, and you know, from one day to another day I started running more actively, and from the one day to another day I just started feeling completely different. And it was between the days I started feeling a massive shift inside me. I always describe it to people that I actually feel since really early childhood that I have a like a clenched fist inside my stomach, and this fist is sometimes it's releasing, sometimes it's holding me stronger, but I always felt that fist like it's, you know, literally squeezing me inside. And when that stress was a bit higher, that fist was squeezing me really inside. Or when I get with my businesses, when I get to the certain level, and actually it was the chance that the business would become successful, that fist was really squeezing me inside and it didn't allow me to make another move, to the level that, you know, at some point I was really literally lying down on the floor and wasn't really able to even pick up my phone or respond to email. And then, the businesses was collapsing, and from the next few days I was feeling okay again. Then I was starting something new, getting again to the certain level, and it was happening exactly the same. And you know, back there in Asia, I realized that I'm following some sort of the pattern when I was talking with those people. And I got really curious. I started learning a lot about this, reading, and I managed to you know, change this.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And actually that idea of the, you know, the clenched fist inside you, I think that's a really good example. I think a lot of people will relate to that, and it will resonate with people as well. Let's just talk through some of those changes, by the way. Beer to water is obviously quite a big change in terms of both socially and obviously cutting out alcohol as well, but sort of coffee to tea is a little bit less caffeine, the walk to work is a little bit healthier. But I've got to ask you about the t-shirt. You change your t-shirt. What was people can see, if you stop drinking, that obviously has a profound impact on your health. But what was the difference about like the clothes that you wore? What was the thing you noticed?
You simply starting thinking different way. And, you know, after changing, replacing coffee with tea and lots of other small things, I just noticed that, okay, when I'm changing something, later I learned about this, that when I'm changing something, I'm healing myself. I didn't know about this before. I think I discovered this about 1.5 year ago when I started writing my book. But basically when you change anything in your life, you are breaking your old patterns of behaving, of feeling, of emotional patterns. And it actually doesn't matter how and what kind, how small are the changes and what kind of the changes, you are still healing yourself. You're still starting thinking different way. You're starting behaving different way. You're starting feeling better. And then it just promotes you to apply more and more changes. I change actually completely my clothing. I change my hairstyle. I even started changing the way it was the results of of those small changes that I even starting changing the way how I talk, with what sort of the people I start engaging. You know, it didn't happen like from one day to another. I never was like a big drinker of alcohol, but the beer after the war was pretty much normal, 5-6 times per week. Probably most of us, maybe not most, but many people do this, going for a drink after the work. And it wasn't like I changed it from the one day to another. It was some effort to change this. But once you start making little changes, actually the bigger changes are much, much easier in life.
This is exactly the point that I was hoping that you come to, that idea that change is difficult. You know, change in you know, anything. If you change your breakfast cereal, you suddenly think, oh, what, we don't normally have this. Or you're like, little change. It feels like it disrupts, doesn't it, what people consider to be their flow, consider to be, well, this is just the way I've always done things. You know, the exact moment that they get up in the morning, the time it takes for them to brush their teeth and get the kids to school, like any change within that pattern is seen as a negative, is seen as a disruptor. I've not had my coffee this morning, how am I going to be able to cope?
Yeah.
And I think that's so built into us, isn't it, as like as human beings. You know, it's the fear factor that keeps people in negative relationships, because they don't, well, I don't know what my next home will look like, or I don't know what, but in a job that you don't like, because you don't know how that's going to impact, you know, how are you going to travel there? How are you going to get there? How am I going to feel about it? What if I don't know anyone? Those sort of bigger changes are all sort of part of that conversation around being confident to make little changes, or feel like you can make changes without the fear factor that comes around it.
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, the way how applying those little changes in my life, how all of this directed me is absolutely amazing. You know, I was, as I said, I was struggling with anxiety, stress and overwhelm for most of my life, until I was almost 40 years old. Now I'm 44. But until almost 40 years old, and it was blocking me to the level when at some point I couldn't, as I mentioned, I couldn't move, I couldn't do much in my life. You know, at some points I was, my mental state, mental condition was, you know, get to the point when I could read the entire page 10 times and I still didn't know what is on the page. I still didn't understand the page, and I didn't know, I couldn't repeat the page, what was on a page. And you know, when I was applying all these little small changes, when I felt that you know, my mental health is really improving, I push myself to the level when actually for the past 4 years, I almost every day sleep in a different place, because I'm constantly running. I'm running with a backpack. I'm working in a different place almost every day. I'm, you know, running with a laptop inside my backpack, getting to the new hotel or hostel, opening my laptop, and after sometimes even 10 hours of running, and I'm opening my laptop and I'm working for the next few hours. But it was also the matter of the practice, that when I was starting running, I was just purposefully going to the places where it was noisy, where it was a lot of people, to the restaurant, to the beach, to you know, busy square on the middle of the city. And I was purposefully opening my laptop or the notebook and writing with the hands, and trying to focus on what I want to create and what I want to prepare. And absolutely amazing things started happening in my life. You know, from the guy who couldn't focus at all for most of his life, who couldn't stay focused on the same thing for longer, sometimes even like 5-10 minutes, I get to the point when I started speaking at a lot of universities, when I started teaching people mindfulness, active meditation, flow. When I become the ambassador for the charity organizations, when I wrote my first book, and now I'm starting running soon in about 7 weeks, the circumference of the globe, 40,000 kilometers.
That's it's an incredible challenge, and obviously there's the physical challenge that comes with it, but you obviously see it as that sort of the physical and the mental health works together, and obviously it allows you to be in that place. Let's talk about the idea of flow and to flow up. Yeah. This is an idea that's only recently been introduced to me in terms of sort of my understanding of the world of mental health in the sort of like last 5 or 6 years. But this is when we talk about sort of how we view our mental health state and how we view ourselves, flow is a good place to start, isn't it, for people looking to make adjustments or just to rethink those elements of their lives that we touched on before, the things that they do, the routines that they're in, the jobs that they've got, the way that they speak to people, the way that they focus during the day. Can you explain flow for us? Because I think it'll make sense to a lot of people, but it might be a new title for it.
Of course. So, I got to the state of flow. I discovered the state of flow completely accidentally when I was running through Asia. You know, as I said, originally I'm from Poland. I live for the past 21 years in London, and we don't have many snakes here. And when I was running through Asia, the snakes was absolutely everywhere. And because my mind was always in the past or worrying about the future, I was rarely in the present moment awareness. Few times I almost stepped on a snake. And it was many really dangerous situations. So I seen this like a life or that situation, because sometimes I was running on my own for many hours and no one was passing me, especially when I was running through Vietnam, for example. And so I did have to focus on the present moment, on what I have ahead of me, to see where I'm putting my feet. And that's what I was doing. I was just focusing all the time on the road in front of me. And at some point, I started running like crazy distances, 70, 80, 100 kilometers. And it was like a second, third week. And not only this, I was able to finish my run, get to the hotel, open my laptop and work for the next few hours. And this was absolutely new feeling for me. And I was like, you know, what the hell is happening to me? Why I feel that way? And why I don't feel anxiety, stress, and overwhelm? Why I'm so much focused? And all of this was actually quite effortless for me. And then I started reading, searching, and I discovered that I'm actually getting regularly into the state of flow. And I'm getting regularly to the state of flow because I'm practicing mindful running, active meditation, mindful movement. So, you know, when I discovered this, I started learning more about this. And between the next few weeks, I actually started speaking at the universities about the flow in Thailand, running just with a backpack from one university to another university. So the flow is the state when you are fully focused on the task at hand. That's the simplest definition of the flow. So everything actually becomes really effortless. But we have to remember that the flow is built on automation. So we cannot just simply, you know, it's not happening with the fingertips and you're getting into the state of flow. If you want to achieve flow in any aspect of your life, you have to go through the struggle first. You have to go through the time when you have to learn this, when you have to master the subject. And then when you master the subject, you can actually start getting into the state of flow. This is what happens when I was running. But, you know, for me, started from running. Then I converted this to all areas of my life. But obviously, you don't have to be a runner to get into the state of flow. Anyone around the globe can achieve the state of flow. You don't have to even be the sport person to get into the flow. You can do this, you know, while cooking, while dancing, while having sex, while writing, while reading, while listening to music. We can have a flow now when we have the conversation. So, you know, it's all those moments when things become for us really effortless, enjoyable. And for example, you know, you do something and the 5 hours pass like 5 minutes and you don't even know that you know, you don't even feel the hunger, you don't need to do anything at
exactly.
all, you just focus
exactly.
on the task at hand.
That's a really good example of it, because I think from a mental health point of view, people talk about it in terms of, and you mentioned there, mindful walking, where you're not thinking about what you're going to do when you've got to where you're going to go. You're concentrating on your steps, you're looking at the floor, you're looking at your feet, you're looking at the world around you. All you're thinking about is that moment. You get into that flow. And actually, you've described it there in a way which I think people will have had experience where, you know, if they've got like an essay to write, and yeah. they've done the research and they've got it all in front of them, and they start typing and it's difficult, but then suddenly they just get into a little bit of a rhythm. Next thing you know, an hour and a half's gone and they've written 5,000 words, and someone comes and knocks on the door going, do you want to come and get some tea? And you go, no, I'm in the flow. Like you experience that, but you've got to earn the right to get into the flow and sort of create that opportunity to get into the flow. But it's interesting as well that from a time frame point of view, when you're running, you know, 100 kilometers, you know, when you're taking part, when you're running the circumference of the globe, you know, you've got to think on your feet because you've got, you know, snakes you've got to deal with and so on and so forth. At the same time, that's a good management technique, isn't it? Because if you suddenly set off on day one to run the circumference of the globe and you're suddenly starting to think, right, on day 67, I'm going to be doing this, or on day 438, I'm going to be thinking about this. Your brain wouldn't be able to, you know, your head would explode, wouldn't it? Because there'd be too much to think about. And actually, just to get in the flow and just go, well, actually, the most important step are the next 10 steps, is the next one step. And as long as that next step comes, the flow is a good survival technique, isn't it, if we apply it in the right way?
Absolutely. You know, when I would think about running 40,000 kilometers, there's no way I will get out of the bed today. You know, the 40,000 kilometers, I'm calculating to pass this distance in 40 months. But it's just the way how you later divide, and it's my knowledge about the flow, because, you know, like last year I read the 24 books on the subject and I write my own book. So this is the way how I'm actually constructing my entire days, not only for running, but for absolutely everything what I do. So I create high flow lifestyle, and this is actually what I teach people. So I can give you the example on my running, that 40,000 kilometers, which I will do. So that 40,000 kilometers is divided on four stages: United States, Asia, Arabian Peninsula, and Europe. So now I'm not thinking about the 40,000 kilometers. I think about stage number one, which is United States. But then I have two sons in London, and obviously they need those fathers, so I need to see them. So we have half school breaks in the United Kingdom. So it's actually divided that every five weeks I have a 1 week break to see them. So now I don't think about the entire distance for the first stage. I think about the nearest 5 weeks. But, you know, it's a 5 weeks, so actually it's going down to 1 week. So I have to pass 300 kilometers. Then Monday, Tuesday I'm running. Wednesday I have off for recovery. Thursday, Friday I'm running. Saturday and Sunday I have a day off. So now I'm thinking only about the 75 kilometers a day, four times per week. But those 75 kilometers, I'm not even thinking about this, because those 75 kilometers are divided on 15 minutes chunks. So I'm focusing only on the nearest 15 minutes or 2.5 kilometers, which is roughly 2,500 steps. And it's tricky at the beginning for your mind to wire your mind this way, because when you wake up and when you want to go for a run and you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm going only for 15 minutes, your mind is obviously saying to you, no, you are going for 10 hours, you want to run 75 kilometers. But then I'm saying to myself, I always treat my mind as a separate organ, like a person next to me, not like it's something between me. I'm saying to my mind, no, no mind. We're just going for 15 minutes and then we're going to see what's going to happen, if we're going to run another 15 minutes or not. And what is actually happening is that with the time and practice, if you keep repeating this to yourself, your mind is starting resistance. It's not resisting this anymore. It's not saying, you are not saying to yourself any longer, oh no, no, it's 10 hours. You are fine, it's 15 minutes. And what is happening? After 15 minutes, you reach your goal. So I'm not expecting that I will reach my goal when I finish 40,000 kilometers. I expect I'm reaching my goals every 15 minutes. And then what is happening? Your brain is releasing a bit of dopamine, the reward drug, let's call this, the reward. And you get rewarding for your work, for goal achieved every 15 minutes. And, you know, I'm just running from 15 minutes to another 15 minutes. And because I'm focusing only on that nearest 15 minutes, I'm really easily getting into the state of flow. And those 10 hours doesn't really feel like 10 hours of running. And with absolutely everything what I do, I work that way.
We've spoken on the podcast before about the benefits of running and physical activity. One of the things that I've only just started running in the last couple of years. The thing I'm not trying to run around the globe, but actually that thing you've just described, we've described in previous episodes of the podcast around, we call it the next lamppost, you know, the street light, whereby you run and you think, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it, but if I can run to the next lamppost, I can then think, all right, okay, well, I got there. Maybe, well, let's just try and get to the next lamppost. And it's a good way of sort of treating your, and then like you say, and I never thought about it from a dopamine hit point of view, that you get to the lamppost, you go, and your brain goes, that was great, on to the next thing. Because if you suddenly go, I'm going to run 5K or I'm going to run 15K or I'm going to run a marathon and just set off, your body will kind of go, well, you're not really prepared for this. And it was really interesting when you were talking about that, the globe, that sort of map of the world, but actually then to then bring it down to 15 minute chunks, they are then the sort of the building blocks of this incredible thing that you're going to build. And although people will think, how could you ever do that, people can't even imagine taking on a task like that, but they can imagine what, you know, moving for 15, what 2.5 kilometers might look like, or moving around for 15 minutes. They can picture that. I think that's really interesting. I thought it was interesting as well. In the book, though, you talk about the flow. Let's pick an example of brushing your teeth. So you've got the flow of, you know, the world becomes a series of 15 minute chunks because you can make it work through the flow. But how does the flow work when you're brushing your teeth or tying your shoelaces? Because I know you're keen to sort of get people to think about it in those terms too.
Flow can exist only in the present moment awareness. And if we implement, when your full focus is on here and now, we can create conditions for flow by implementing a small mindfulness exercises to our daily life. And, you know, our brain is learning by the repetition. So if we repeat those mindful exercises to several daily activities, daily routines, eventually this is directing us to the state of flow. It doesn't mean that we're going to get to the state of flow when we tied our shoes or, you know, when we brush our tooth. But because we will implement mindfulness to those little activities for 2, 3, 4 minutes a day, we can start getting into the state of flow regularly. We can start creating those conditions. And because we are pushing ourselves and our mind to exist in the present moment awareness, we are also removing the flow blockers, because all those, you know, up to 70,000 thoughts a day, which we have in our life, in most of the humans have in our lives, those are actually the flow blockers. This is preventing us from the getting into the state of flow, because if we respond to those thoughts which we have, and we are starting doing different things that we want to actually do, Then we are pushing ourselves away from the state of flow. So I'm teaching people how to implement mindfulness to a little tiny activities, and because it's difficult for every human to make a change, as we discussed at the beginning, if you implement mindfulness to already existing activity, activity which you already do, is much, much easier then. So I'm teaching people how to be mindful when you brush your tooth. So to focus on the smells, on sensations, on the brush or on the move, or to focus on the lacing your shoes, or to focus on preparing a coffee, on smells and on flavors again, on, you know, walking to your work, etc. And slowly this is, you know, building up the conditions when we, for example, get to the work, sit down to our laptop, and then we can actually get to the state of flow, because since the morning we was mindful, we was creating those conditions for flow.
The book is called Flow Up, Get Rid of Anxiety, Stress and Overwhelm, Unlock Focus, Creativity and Joy. Thomas Jabala is the author, and it's out in March 2023 at the start of this incredible journey. Just to sort of wrap up the conversation, Tom, I wanted to ask you about sort of, when people are in the flow, they're changing the way that they maybe think about their world. And when you think about the world, you think, what am I doing later? What did I do before? How do I look forward? How do I look back? Can I ask you, when you've sort of done something in the flow, does it help you then look back to it? Because I feel like maybe sometimes people don't want to just give themselves to a moment, because they feel like they're, although they're invested in that moment, they feel like it maybe it doesn't have a long-term benefit to them. But what is the long-term benefit that allows people to look back at something that they did in the flow? Because I think that's one of the crucial things that people will go, well, I need to think about all these other things because that's how my world is existing and so on and so forth. But actually, you're in a good place to maybe explain then. If you do go into the flow for a day, for a walk, what does your brain do to allow you to look back at that walk and remember the things that you saw and the, you know, the views and the sensory experience that you have?
Sure. So, you know, the first thing is that usually when we are in the state of flow, we don't really know about this, that we are in the state of flow. Actually, when you're getting out of the state of flow, then you are like, oh, I was in the flow. And then you check your watch and maybe even a few hours pass and you don't even know actually what you was doing. So, you know, what is happening in the flow is that in our subconscious mind, often during the flow, we solve a lot of problems, and because we solve the problems subconsciously. So when you work on some kind of the difficult task, subject, something big, massive project, and you go for a run, like in my case, and I'm running for the few hours, and for example, I'm finishing the work in the evening, and I get stuck with something, writer's blog or whatever I was doing, and then next day I'm going for a run for a few hours. I usually run in the morning when I'm running the challenges. Then when I'm sitting to the computer, it's like, you know, I don't really think about the subject which I finished day before. I don't really think in the morning, but then I'm sitting to the computer later, and it's just flowing. It's just, you know, the words are, you know, the ideas are just there. And then I'm spending, instead of spending 10 hours in front of a laptop, I'm spending, for example, 2 hours, because everything is already sorted in my brain. So the research shows that when we are in the state of flow, the productivity is increased even by 500%. The skills, learning skills by 490%, the problem-solving skills by 430%, and our creativity increase even by 700%. When we get into the state of flow, our nervous system is resetting, because in a state of flow, the prefrontal cortex is shutting down. When the prefrontal cortex shuts down, all the stress hormones are flooded out from our system, and our nervous system is resetting. When we are in the state of flow, all those anxiety, stresses and overwhelms are just resetting. We're starting fresh from the new perspective. when we are getting into the state of flow and the prefrontal cortex is shutting down, our sense of self is resetting also. So we are literally getting out of our way. We stop doubting ourselves. We stop criticizing ourselves. And again, when we finish the state of flow, we are starting from zero. This is how, you know, I started actually speaking at the universities, because I didn't doubt myself any longer. It was, you know, I was just running with a backpack from one university to another university in Thailand, in place when, you know, I didn't even know if they speak in English when I was going to the university. But I just literally get completely out of myself. You know, the risk taking is going up. Because when you don't doubt yourself, you're just not saying, oh, I cannot do it, I'm not good enough. So, you know, that's a lot of positive things which are happening to you in a long term.
Yeah, we've talked a lot on the podcast about sort of the mind sort of resetting, recharge, defragmenting, you know, getting the files back into the right order. And it's interesting that sometimes people get that through running, or sleep is obviously a really good thing for that. But this idea that can be introduced into people's everyday lives is really, really fascinating. Now, Thomas, your website has got a link to the book, and when it's out in March 2023, at the same time, you've got this epic journey that you're starting as well. So we wish you all the very best for that. That's going to be absolutely huge. People can follow you on social media as well, I'm presuming, to see sort of the journey, which I think is going to be really fascinating to see too. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us on Mental Health Monday. We're hopefully going to take the flow with us, and we hope the flow is with you when you embark on your incredible journey, and when the book's out next year too.
Thank you so much, and I hope that many people will join me running along the way of my running route.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your post. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. SHOUT to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.